ser siempre máximo exponente. Como Crash, ser siempre máximo exponente. No hay ser siempre máximo exponente. Como Lyric, ser siempre máximo exponente. No hay ser siempre máximo exponente. Como Raz, ser siempre máximo exponente. No hay ser siempre máximo exponente.
¿Quieres fiesta? Sí, yo quiero fiesta. También. Y entonces. Buenas vibraciones, pulmones activos. Levanten la mano los que están conmigo. Échense a un lado todos los deprimidos. Llegan los que a la vida buscan el sentido. Nada que perder, ese es el dilema. Noche caliente, la más serena. Hoy quiero cantar como una sirena, porque esta noche me voy de verbena. Un plato de arroz, esta fue mi cena. Voy donde tú quieras con la barriga llena. Que le den por culo a la política y a los problemas. Mucho hielo y ron llevo en la nevera. Hombres y mujeres, estoy aquí afuera. Salgan ya del rancho, que buena nos espera.
Ya tú sabes que sí, tremenda borrachera.
Ay, qué calor.
Y es que del Caribe te lo traigo yo.
Ay, qué calor,
ay, qué calor.
Y es que del Caribe te lo traigo yo.
Hasta el amanecer,
hasta el amanecer,
hasta el amanecer, hasta el amanecer,
hasta el amanecer,
hasta el amanecer.
Se fue la luz, pero mi radio tiene pilas. La luna llena, el camino nos ilumina. No tengo carro, no vamos andando. Por el camino ya la iremos gozando. No tengo dinero, pero soy feliz. Tengo a mi negro lindo que me hace sentir. No tengo un jacuzzi, tengo una playa llena de palmeras para cuando yo vaya. Que salgo tres pueblos, salto cuatro vallas. ¿A que te vienes conmigo? Vaya, vaya, que sí. Porque la vida es así.
No la he inventado yo.
Sencilla, tranquila. Pa' abajo, pa' arriba, te tira, no te tira. Pero ante todo, que nada te frene. Como ya te dije, compadre.
Hasta el amanecer.
Ay, qué calor,
ay, qué calor.
Y es que del Caribe te lo traigo yo.
Ay, qué calor,
ay, qué calor. Y es que del Caribe te lo traigo yo.
Ay, qué calor,
ay, qué calor. Y es que del Caribe te lo traigo yo.
Ay, qué calor,
ay, qué calor. Y es que del Caribe te lo traigo yo.
Hasta el amanecer,
hasta el amanecer.
Volume 2. It's on now, motherfucker. Lock and load. This is the point of no return. I can never go back. Life without parole, upstate, shackled and trapped. Living in the hole, looking at the world through a crack. But fuck that, I'd rather shoot it out and get clapped. I've gone too far, there ain't no coming back for me. Auschwitz gas chamber full of Zyklon B. Just like the Spanish exterminating Tainos, raping the black and Indian women, creating Latinos. Motherfuckers made me out of self-righteous hatred, and now you got yourself a virus, stuck in the matrix, a suicide bomber, strapped and ready to blow. Lethal injection, strapped down, ready to go. Don't you understand, they'll never let me live out in peace. Concrete jungle, guerrilla war out in the streets. Nat Turner with the sickle, pitchfork and machete. The end of the world, motherfucker, you not ready. This is the point of no return and nobody can stop it. Malcolm Little when he knelt before Elijah Muhammad, the comet that killed the dinosaurs, changing the earth. They love to criticize, they always say I change for the worse. Like prescription pills when you misusing them, nigga. The Templar Knights when they took Jerusalem, nigga, and figured out what was buried under Solomon's temple. Al-Aqsa, the name is not coincidental. I know too much, the government is trying to murder me. No coming back, like cutting your wrists open vertically. How could the serpent be purposely put in charge of the country? Genetic engineered sickness spread amongst me. My people are so hungry that they attack without reason, like a fucking dog ripping off the hand that feeds him. Immortal technique is treason to the Patriot Act. So come and get me, motherfucker, cause I'm not coming back. This is the point from which I can never return. And if I back down now, then forever I burn. This is the point from which I can never retreat. Cause if I turn back now, there can never be peace. This is the point from which I will die, succeed, live in the struggle. I know I'm alive when I bleed. From now on, it can never be the same as before. Cause the place that I'm from doesn't exist anymore. This is the point of no return, nigga. You better believe this. Mary Magdalene giving birth to the children of Jesus. The evolution of the world, bloody and dramatic. Human beings killing monkeys to conquer the planet. The kingdoms of Africa and Mesopotamia. Machine gun in your body with depleted uranium. This is the age of microchips and titanium. The dark side of the moon in contact with aliens. I started out like Australians, criminal minded, broke into hell, tore it down and built a city behind it. Southpaw, murderous methodology, nigga. Remember that I'm just a man, don't follow me, nigga. Cause once you pass the point, you can never go home. You gotta face the possibility of dying alone. So tell me, motherfucker, how could you die for the throne when you don't even got the fucking heart to die for your own? It rains acid, one day the earth will cry from a stone, and you'll be looking at the world living inside of a dome. Computerized humanity living inside of a clone. This is the place where the unknown is living and real. Wormwood, the planet X and the seventh seal. Universal truth is not measured in mass appeal. This is the last time that I kneel and pray to the sky, cause almost everything that I was ever told was a lie. This is the point from which I can never return. And if I back down now, then forever I burn. This is the point from which I can never retreat. Cause if I turn back now, there can never be peace. This is the point from which I will die, succeed, live in the struggle. I know I'm alive when I bleed. From now on, it can never be the same as before. Cause the place that I'm from doesn't exist anymore.
Buscar a Lola. Habíamos quedado para irnos de copas. Dígala que estoy aquí si no le importa, ¿vale? Soy Oscar. Buena persona, que voy a cuidarme muy bien de su Lola. Prometo traerla a casa a su hora. Gorda, con la tontería me ha cortado la historia. Ahora tendré que ver qué es lo que hago ahora. Cuando iba a casa sonó mi Motorola y era Lola. Digo,
hola, hagas caso de mi madre que está loca. Esta noche me quedo en casa sola. Pásate por aquí en un par de horas.
No sabía que fuera tan lanzada Lola. Me pasé por allí pasadas dos horas. Estaba impaciente por verla a solas. Llegué aquí, hola. Dijo,
hola.
Usé la técnica que siempre funciona. Le propuse una partida a la consola, pero Lola no tenía tiempo pa' bromas y entró en tropa. Toma. Cuando me di cuenta estábamos sin ropa. Lola fue directa a cogerme la cola. Parecía ser que estaba muy cachonda. Y yo más bien, si se movieron escuchando el volumen primero digan
no, no, chico, no.
Si disfrutó con lo que encontró en el volumen dos digan
no, no, chico, no.
Esto que ves es parte del volumen tres.
No, no, chico, no.
Si les mola la historia de Lola y quieren que siga digan
no, no.
No te creas que lo que me haces no me mola, pero creo que has olvidado una cosa. Déjame que saque un condón de la bolsa y goza. No da, aprovecha tonto que a mí no me importa. No pierdas el tiempo poniéndote coma. Usa de plastiquito a mí me corta, así que goza. Pero Lola, imagino que lo que dices es broma. No la meto ahí sin goma ni de coña. Imagínate que fueran así todas. Venga, tonta.
¿Qué? ¿Tonta?
Mira, listo, voy a decirte una cosa. No tengo ninguna mierda contagiosa. Parece que piensas que soy una zorra. Bien, búscate a otra. Fin de la historia. Lo último que supe acerca de esa Lola es que estaba embarazada y sin rosa. Así que te aconsejo una cosa. Controla y no te la juegues. Sé que a veces cuesta guardar los papeles, pero cuídate, no te arriesgues. Y usa goma siempre. Con la mierda que comes es suficiente. Haz lo que debes. Si se movieron escuchando el volumen primero digan
no, no, chico, no.
Si disfrutó con lo que encontró en el volumen dos digan
no, no, chico, no.
Esto que ven es parte del volumen tres.
No, no, chico, no.
Si saben que Sida se pilla porque se descuidan digan
no, no, chico, no.
Eso es WFN, aquí lo veis.
And coming up next on Free Radio, it's the extended version of Bathrobs Piers Broadsides for April 2nd, 2006, engulfing Thomas Levitt's The Wake-Up Call. But Thomas will be back next week, hopefully. He's returned to Santa Cruz. So for all you Levitt fans, don't give up hope. For all you Norse fans, stay tuned. It's going to be a long morning. It's actually 6:30, not 5:30, so up and at 'em. This is the wake-up call with Uncle Robert.
It isn't nice to block the doorway. It isn't nice to go to jail. There are nicer ways to do it, but the nice ways always fail. It isn't nice, it isn't nice. You told us once, you told us twice, but if that's freedom's price, we don't mind. No, no, no. Well, we try negotiations and the tug and picket lines. Mr. Charlie didn't see us, and he might as well be blind. When you deal with men of ice, you can deal with waste so nice. But if that freedom's price, we don't mind. No, no, no. You shot women all across the country. You raped and murdered when you could. You treated us as slaves and prisoners. Did you say that wasn't good? You were quiet just like mice. Now you say that we're not nice. Well, thank you, buddy, for your advice. But if that's freedom's price, we don't mind. No, no, no. Definition of what's right and what's wrong, but we know that propaganda. We've accepted it too long. It isn't nice, it isn't nice. You told us once, you told us twice. But if that's freedom's price, we don't mind. No, no, no. It isn't nice to tell the truth now. It isn't nice to organize. It isn't nice to love our sisters. It isn't nice to expose your lies. It isn't nice, it isn't nice. You told us once, you told us twice. If that's freedom's price, we don't mind. No, no, no. We tried to get on television. We tried to play the game your way. But you stacked the cards against us and gave yourself a chance to say, it isn't nice, it isn't nice. You told us once, you told us twice. Buddy, take your own advice, cause if that's freedom's price, we don't mind. No, no, no.
This is the Wake Up Call / Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, the actual Bathrobe Spears Broadsides show, which is my show. I'm Robert Norris. Starts in 2 hours, but I'm taking over for Thomas Levitt, as mentioned before, who has returned from the South, but he's recovering from weeks of, sorting through the household effects, dredging in a burned-out wreck of a house for his family's items. He'll be talking to you about that, perhaps, or perhaps he won't. But he'll be back next week, and then you can check him out at that point. This show is about civil rights in Santa Cruz, when we can find him, and where we might be able to find him in the future. And a lot of what I'm saying this morning is probably going past my regular listeners who won't be tuning in for another 3 hours. So, hey, I hope that some folks are listening to this show archived, because you can hear it archived at Huff, H-U-F-F, SantaCruz.org. www.huffsantacruz.org will give you the archives for this show. And one of the reasons I'm up so early doing this is because I think it's important that the community have a record of some of the city council's hearings that it holds at odd times, and in the past has not made a record of, except, well, the only record that exists is the record that the community makes. Now, at my urging, Mike Rotkin, the chair of the Public Safety Committee, which is going to be investigating or is drawing together guidelines to make sure that the police department's ass is covered, or as they would say, to make sure that there is no inappropriate political surveillance, police surveillance of political groups, peaceful political groups in Santa Cruz. They'll be drawing up these guidelines and presenting them either to the April 11th City Council or to the April 25th City Council, or who knows, maybe a City Council several years down the line. Probably in April is my guess, though. And preparatory to this, there was a meeting of the Public Safety Committee on Wednesday evening, the 29th of March. What we're going to hear now is some of the demonstration that preceded it. A group of people showed up about 45 minutes beforehand, and we're going to hear most of the Public Safety Committee meeting. I want to say that thanks to the fine work of Vinnie Lombardo, the V-Man, there will be... it's accessible to you online already. If you want to go to indybay.org, that's indybay.org/Santa Cruz, the indie media website, and it's on the extreme right of the screen. Just scroll down. Well, you have to scroll down. It's just sitting there. You can see it's one of the smaller news items, and I'm going to play that for folks to hear, although I may cut short some of it because it's already there. I also want to put on into the archives and also out onto the air the last meeting of the Downtown Commission. That's the City Council's advisory body that had a special meeting, actually the second special meeting in as many weeks, in order to ram through Ryan Coonerty's special interest law for... It's hard to really figure who it's for. I guess it's being done for nervous residents, frustrated parking lot attendants, and paranoid merchants. That's how I like to look at it. It's the 10, or is it now, 15-minute trespass law in parking lots and garages, which makes it illegal to even enter a parking lot or garage, which I'll remind you, it takes up 8 to 10 square blocks in Santa Cruz, if you count all of them, without... having a vehicle or bicycle with you, or being in a vehicle or bicycle, on a vehicle or bicycle, in or on, and you can't be with that a vehicle or bicycle for more than 10, or is it now 15 minutes, or you will get a citation. Eliminating not only a vast amount of space, but a vast amount of time from the public domain, because normally when you would sit in your car, listen to your radio, read a book, maybe even sleep legally, I might add. It's legal to sleep in your car during the day when these parking lots and garages are mostly used. This would now be illegal. I've discussed it at length before. The Downtown Commission will be discussing it today. That is to say, they won't be discussing it at all, but we'll be hearing their prior discussion. Let's move immediately now to the Public Safety Committee meeting. Compliments of Vinny. And if anybody wants to call in at this early hour, I will entertain calls. In fact, I will interrupt the program for the calls if you want to talk about this issue on the air. Once I interrupt it, I will, enhance it, because that's what it in fact happens when you call in. It really does enhance the program. You may not think you have a lot to say, but frankly, it's not just you talking. When you start talking, you encourage others to talk. You encourage thought. You encourage community dialogue. And it's a positive thing. So think about calling in, 831-427-3772, if anyone is foolish enough to be up at this early hour. Well, let's go now back to the Santa Cruz Public Safety Committee meeting on the Santa Cruz Police Department's spying. Again, compliments of Vinnie Lombardo. This is being downloaded from the Santa Cruz Indie Media website, or indiebay.org. Or that's what I'm trying to do anyway. Let's hope we can actually do it. We'll see where we're at. Yeah. Let's just see here. Looks like something is happening. I also want to announce that later in the show at 9:30, there's going to be a call-in from Food Not Bombs' co-founder Keith McHenry from Tucson, Arizona. Should be an interesting interview. I'm hoping we can actually entertain calls where you can actually call him and talk to him, and we'll see if that happens. It looks like I'm not getting a download at the moment. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start instead with the protest outside. And we'll see if we can then also pick up on the download in a bit. Stay tuned. And again, it's it may be daylight savings time, but I'm still running at about, feels like about 6:45 in the morning. So bear with me as I pull this together. It will be pulled together, if a little more slowly than usual.
March 29, 2006, here in front of the City Hall. We have individuals of all kinds coming for the do-it-yourself last night demand that there be adequate police accountability guidelines before they do more snooping on peaceful groups. Here's a man with a sign and a guitar. Is that a guitar or a mandolin? What you got in your bag?
Guitar.
Guitar. It says, transients, van people spend money in your business in Santa Cruz. What's your name, sir?
My name's Trey.
What's your issue?
I like to sit in the van and conversate and hang out with friends sometimes for maybe longer than 15 minutes.
You're talking about the infamous formerly 10-minute, now perhaps, well, we're not sure yet, 15-minute trespass law that's going to be going before City Council on April 11th.
Which I believe makes it illegal to stay in the car. I'm not sure whether it's parking structure, parking garage.
Both. If it's the same law, they may change it, of course, but it goes the same way. The recommendation by the Downtown Commission was that both parking lots and garages be made completely illegal for anyone to enter unless you have a vehicle, and then only for 15 minutes. Vehicle including a bike.
And who is it that made the recommendation?
Five members of the Downtown Commission, as a majority. One, Kathy Bisbee, voted against it.
How about the Downtown Task Force?
Downtown Task Force is a secretive group that meets behind closed doors. I think the mayor is one of the members. I imagine they only voted for it. They probably are actively trying to ram it up the and down the of everybody in town. That's my belief. Anyway, welcome.
All right, thank you. Probably, in some ways, it would be slightly uncomfortable.
Listening to Rico Thunder. Go ahead, Rico.
We're eavesdropping on Rico Thunder, who's talking, chatting amongst
surveilling is the proper term, sir. And this is a public meeting, I'm sorry.
And I do think that at least one of us probably committed or is contemplating committing a crime sometime in their lives.
I'm going to go urinate if they don't open the damn bathrooms, I'll tell you right now.
So you look dashing in your bathrobe.
That's so sweet of you.
Where's my hug?
Robert.
Your radio
right? Hey! And this man gave me a hug. I'm a little touched by that, actually.
A lot touched?
Yes, we touched, but we didn't do too much questionable touching.
No inappropriate touching. He's not in public.
So you're hearing it all here, folks.
I was about 90% sure that this would be the meeting in which the Public Safety Committee, with very little public input, would listen patiently to everybody's oral communications and then whip out from underneath their desks a pre-made policy that they would go ka-kunk and rubber stamp and say, and we're going to recommend it on April 11th to the council. Thank you all for your input and help creating this and so on and so forth.
Now, I know that we got it.
But we have information from various conversations from Mark Schlossberg from the ACLU calling
a long letter.
Sent a long letter to the city council and to the Public Safety Committee and to the Dickie Wilson and all his goons.
City Manager for Life, Dick Wilson, Mr. Dick Wilson
Mr.
to you, sir.
Mr. Wilson. He sent a letter to him and to everyone else, and he also made some phone calls, one ACLU colleague to another ACLU colleague, in the case of Mike Rotkin. And Word is that they're not actually walking in with a pre-prepared policy to rubber stamp.
That's what Mike Rodkin told Mark Schlesberg.
That's what Mike told
you
Mark.
You always count on Uncle Mike to give you the straight dope, or to give you to give the dope to you, or give you the dope, or dope you out, or something.
You said it. We're not going to, I think, let the pressure off. So we're not going to be lulled into a false sense of security. We have, we still want to see a strong policy that restricts police power and guarantees people's civil liberties.
Is there actually?
I'm even tired of hearing myself say it by this point.
Indeed, I'm nodding off here. But you know, I know you put a lot of energy into this. A lot of emails gone out, postings on Indie Bay, and of course we have the usual 12 activists who've shown up.
Late night scanning on posting on Indie Media, of course.
Right. Well, no, you sent out all kinds of alerts to I imagine lists that have probably hundreds of people at some. Is that accurate? I mean, has it gone out to progressive scalpel lists and other lists? Yeah. I see a nod from the V-man here.
At least hundreds. It's probably reached hundreds.
And so obviously there are many people that are here.
That'll make change.
They're with us in spirit, but they just couldn't make it down tonight. I mean, it happens, I mean, we'd like to see Bush out of office, but, we have other things to do. I got to get out of Iraq next year or something.
Well, they're all at the Vets Hall listening to Derek Jensen tearing down civilization.
Yeah,
or at the police community room talking about the minimum wage with Emily Riley.
Is that happening right now, too?
I'm told by one fellow that it is. I don't know independently that it is.
This would not be my night to actually be standing in front of City Hall. I was at least triple booked already, including a free school class that I was leading. But the Public Safety Committee only gave about just under 72 hours.
Under? That would be a violation of the Brown Act. Are you sure it wasn't just over 72?
I'm sure it was 72 hours and 2-3 minutes, right. But or whatever. I don't know. I don't really think they take that seriously, but
we talked to you and with your colleague Mike Rutkin, so to speak, on Sunday on Free Radio, and we asked him publicly if he would postpone this meeting. We being the royal we, Robert,
right,
of course. If he would postpone the meeting for a week, because you want to postpone for a week because you want some time to actually hammer out guidelines. But it looks like you have some guidelines hammered out, right?
3:30 a.m. That's when I hammered. I was hammering, keeping the neighbors up.
Wait a minute. Are you a lawyer? If you're not a lawyer, what are you doing trying to hammer out guidelines? There are certainly people wiser and more experienced than yourself.
I'm not a lawyer, but I play one on the Internet.
I see. You're one of them play lawyers.
Yeah.
Unlike that fine lawyer, John Barrasone, who guards the city against people like yourself.
No, he's a play lawyer, too. He's just
idle. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Now, what about Ryan Coonerty? Here's a lawyer who's actually on the city council.
Whoa, don't slag Ryan Coonerty.
He's, in fact, member of the subcommittee, in fact.
Furthermore, do you realize that he teaches a class on civil liberties?
That's what he tells us, and he assures us that banning everybody from the parking lot structures is no violation of civil liberties.
Well,
and
no,
we should certainly take his word for it.
Nor is infiltrating meetings from because people were contemplating committing some serious minor infractions.
There were no guidelines. Let's be honest, shall we?
There were no guidelines.
This is yesterday's news. Let's move on.
move on. There's nothing to see here.
So what's going to come out of tonight? You're an old reporter who's been covering this, actually a young reporter who's been covering this for quite a while, younger than most of us
aging.
Here. Aging. Doesn't look very aging, I'll tell you.
I'm getting gray hairs, but I'm pulling them out.
Okay. Well, as long as you aren't obviously losing your, youthful appearance. V-Man, what's...
You still get carded from time to time.
You've been covering police misconduct for a decade in Santa Cruz. What do you make of all this?
Well, I don't know quite what to make of it. I mean, I'm frustrated with the slowness of the process, for one. I kind of agree with the assessment that Rico just laid out, that, it's possible that there may be some mediocre policy put in place tonight, hopefully, or, put in motion. I don't know. I mean, it's... it frustrates me that the police are so concerned about anarchist, quote-unquote, organizers, people getting together to have a parade in Santa Cruz. I mean, it's frustrating, to be quite honest. And I have to wonder, as has been stated by others in this whole, since this whole thing broke, I wonder what other infiltration has taken place on other community groups. That's really what I'd like to hear details on, and something we've still not seen.
Indeed, Bob Aronson in his auditor's report did not answer that question at all, even though it could have been very easily put to Deputy Chief Vogel. Is this, you know, one of numerous investigations that we should be concerned about? But Matthews, and I believe, I don't think Rotkin was asked that question. That was a question I should have asked him on Sunday. You know, do you know of any such investigations? Or, I think maybe I asked him that. Did I ask him, did anybody hear the interview? But there were investigations ongoing, and I think he denied it. It certainly has been denied, I believe, by somebody.
It's been denied over and over again that there are. They have said, and then a little bit of backpedaling, that there have been no infiltrations within the last 3 years, I think we've heard. At one point they've said there's no operations anything like this, in, you know, the infiltration, the monitoring. When they get asked questions about whether they monitored any groups in the last, whatever, 3 years, they say there are no ongoing operations like that. And that's actually what the police auditor asked.
But Vinny's question about has there been anything in the last year or two, we haven't heard an answer
definitively
yet.
I haven't heard that definitively answered or on the record. And I think that the results might, well, I don't think it'd surprise us.
We need a citizen investigation. Sherry, would you lead such a group?
Of course, absolutely.
All right. Now, you have a number of people can call you to volunteer to help staff your group.
A number? No.
For public, there you are. Call 423-HUFF. I'll forward all police infiltrators into your group, Sherry, just to be sure.
Then we can... Another point, though, too, just because the Santa Cruz police are not admitting to any active, open investigations into community groups does not mean that other local or state or federal agencies, in fact, are. You know, I mean, we're just talking about specifically the Santa Cruz Police Department. That's not the county sheriffs. That's not the, you know, the CHP or Arnold's, what is it, the California National Guard Red Pink Squad or whatever that they had on Code Pink organizers up in Sacramento. It remains to be seen what other types of infiltration are going on in Santa Cruz, and that's a big concern to me, you know, as an activist.
Yeah. Well, do you any ideas as to how we can do this other than relying on, as Mike Rotkin, for example, told me last night at City Council, his assurance, he gave me his personal assurance that there was no investment going on by city agencies into groups connected with Darfur, you know, military operations or supporting the war in Iraq. And I said, well, then you wouldn't mind going to getting a report from the finance department on this subject. So we can't take up their time with that. And I said, well, would it take any more time than you did if it were really the case? And he had no answer for that. So how are we going to find this out is my question. What do we have? I guess, is there some kind of independent investigation? Who's going to do it? It's the same old question like with Happy John Dine. How do you get some kind of justice for, and some kind of policy changes, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess what we need to do really is start filing FOIAs, Freedom of Information Act requests, Public Records Act requests, to all these different agencies to find out what's going on in Santa Cruz, what other infiltrations have taken place, are taking place, are ongoing.
Sherry, I know that you, through a lot of your contacts, you've been able to get information about the Parks and Rec Department's activities because you have some good relations with some of the folks on the commissions. But have you successfully ever filed a Public Records Act request or a Freedom of Information Act request you got a good reply to here in Santa Cruz?
Well, just the most recent one. I filed the public... originally, I filed a Public Records Act request with regard to this incident, the surveillance, the undercover surveillance of the last night planning group, and... shortly after that was when Mark Schlossberg and the ACLU office up in San Francisco got involved. And he filed a request, and it was so much more detailed that we just let that one supersede mine. But when they issued the response to his request, they sent me a letter and volunteered to give me a copy of all of it, which I got. So that's the only time I've ever tried that.
Did you get any response or... acknowledgement prior to Mark's request, Mark Schlossberg of the ACLU in Northern California being filed?
Yeah, they sent a letter and said, you know, we got your request. We'll be in touch with you within 10 days with a response.
Because I know Bob Patton and I filed separate requests. We got no response. So it seems to be a differential approach. You are on the inside track, of course. I will try to contain my resentment here.
So you filed a request about this incident?
I filed a request for...
Just because.
You know, that's a good point. I may be confusing my requests. I filed a request for... No. Take that back. Here I am. But I requested I file, for example, for police department information around the 10-minute trespass law. Tickets, citations, and so forth came back zero. And similarly, when asked about emails from the city council on any kind of public input they had, information between the various agencies and staff, they claimed to have no emails whatsoever between themselves or from the public, which sounded peculiar since I know I sent an email myself to them. Yeah, so they claimed to have, they claimed to have one email, and it was an email from somebody I'd never heard of before. So it showed that they were either a little slow on the uptake, maybe a staff problem, no doubt.
A long thing about it. That's interesting. I mean, the one thing that was in my request that was not in Mark's, the one from ACLU, was that I asked for records of any surveillance of any political group or community organizing group back to the fall of 2002. And what they said was, we have no records of any surveillance between now and the time that you asked for. And I just don't believe it. I don't believe it.
And what? Why do you not believe it, Sherry?
Because I've seen them photographing different events.
Now, when I brought that to Mike Rotkin, he...
A photograph is a record. I mean, that was specifically included, you know, any photographs, any, you know, so...
When I asked Mike Rotkin that question, I think I did ask him that on Sunday or in a previous interview. I think it was on Sunday. He told me if there was photographing, it was done for public safety purposes during rallies, and such photographs were then destroyed after the events. What do you think of that claim?
It makes no sense to me. You take a photograph for public safety purposes? I mean, what's the safety purpose of taking a photograph?
Well, perhaps what he means is they want to make sure that no crimes are committed, and then if no crimes are committed, I'm trying to be the police advocate here.
Oh, I see.
They then destroy it because it doesn't have any criminal basis or use.
Oh, I see.
Maybe like throwing away an old surveillance tape.
I see. So if somebody gets hurt or something, then they would have... I see. That's their justification. Well, I've seen them taking photographs that seem to me to have nothing to do with safety. It had to do with attempting to identify who was out protesting. It looked to me like that's exactly what it was about, was taking as many pictures as could be taken as fast as possible of as many people as possible. What I don't know for sure is whether or not it was SCPD. This was during the early winter of 2003 as the build-up to the invasion of Iraq was happening. The peace vigil got larger and larger. It probably got up to about 200 people every Friday when people got that this was real. And there were unmarked cars with officers, in plain clothes in every window, but it was very clear what was going on. Going through the intersection, snapping photos as fast as they could. I asked SCPD if it was them. I asked the sheriff's office. They both denied it, but I can't imagine that at that point in time there would have been any reason for a federal agency to be here conducting that surveillance.
Perhaps one thing to do would be to ask the FBI for a Public Records Act request for them, too, and state agencies. So we doubt, I think we share, all of us here, a doubt of the claim that there have been no surveillance records kept.
They claim they have the right to take photographs on public streets of public events, and that's true, they do. They have that right. Anybody can walk up and...
Political files? I don't think so.
Walk up and snap a photo. However, what's the intent of their photograph taking? And is that how we want our police and our resources and our tax dollars to be used? I don't think so.
The federal government has the right, or, well, they've given themselves the right to classify certain types of information. Do you know if the city also has that power to keep information classified, to not release it to the public?
Well, what they've done is they claim that some things are working product, or they claim some things are litigation,
right.
And they can close some meetings because of personnel discussions. I don't know how that relates to public records. Do you have any clue on that one, Sherry?
Yeah,
no.
really. I don't know those parameters at all.
And do we have any actual ACLU officials here? Not yet. I know Don Zimmerman did show up at the, not here necessarily, but he showed up at our... He did. Oh, great. Okay, well, that... And it should be starting in about half an hour, so there's a little time left. The man on the horn, of course, is Breakfast in a red bathrobe on the castanets. Is that a castanet? What is that? Not a castanet. That's a, what do you call a shaker? It's a shaky thing. Mariachi. It's a.
It's a homemade shaky thing.
It's a shaky thing. It's a Brent, of course, the well-known Kucinich backer. Whatever happened to Kucinich anyway? Anybody remember? Because has he done anything recently?
Congressman still, yeah.
He's a congressman, but what, you know, anything about the Iraqi war? I mean, I haven't heard a word from him. It's like Howard Dean. They disappeared without a trace. I guess Dean's a Democratic National Committee hack now.
His thing is trying to set up a Department of Peace. That's his big thing.
Department of Peace in the middle of the war. How moving, yes. How idealistic. Yeah, I like that. Thanks, guys. Why are you here, sir? You're anonymous. Okay. We have a reluctant, but a supporter nonetheless, we'll have to say. I'm here in front of the mayor's office looking at the city council subcommittee's board, which, by the way, if you want to check postings for this, the city council subcommittee, you have to go to the area that's in front of the mayor's office, which is, I guess, offices 9 and 10 at the 901... at the City Hall complex. And Public Safety Committee has a number of items on the agenda here. 7 o'clock, March 29th, special meeting. Call to order is 1. 2, discussion of last night DIY parade, independent police auditor's report, and police surveillance policy. And then 3, discussion and approval of police surveillance policy guidelines. Approved policy recommendations will be brought to the City Council at its April 11th, 2006 meeting. Then, of course, there's a communication from commission members, and a public comment, of course, is at the end. So anybody who has something to say about, I don't know, police tasering of people or use of force or any abuse, we'll have to sit through a couple of hours of stuff that she or he doesn't want to even think about or talk about, or maybe they should because this is an interesting meeting, but often not the case. I guess they would say the reason that they're moving to approve police surveillance policy recommendations is that's after the thorough discussion in item 2 of the police surveillance policy. Although it sounds like they may have the recommendations ready to roll. Although we're told by Rico Thunder that he was told by Mark Schlossberg that he was told by Mike Rotkin that there's going to be some thorough discussion and examination. That there's no rubber stamping here. And no rubbernecking either. So keep moving, will you please? Yes. My anonymous informant tells me, he asks the question is why, if this is... actually going to be a real discussion on these recommendations. Why does it say approval of police surveillance policy recommendations, implying that A, there are some recommendations to approve, and B, that there will be an approval rather than, let's say, further discussion, open situation that might lead to approval or disapproval, that sort of thing. Does that cover it? My anonymous informant is nodding from the shadows. Thank you. So it's about 15 to 7. Looks like Celia Scott has arrived, and she's chatting with Rico and Sherry. Grant Wilson has arrived with a provocative sign, which Celia is distancing herself from. Police probe clears Santa Cruz officers. Police chief, don't blame us. Auditor slams police probe and audit police violated civil rights. Are these concocted headlines you've made up, Grant Wilson?
No, there's no need to make this up. This is all... Truth is stranger than fiction, I think.
You're telling me the Santa Cruz Sentinel gives us truth? What kind of a comment is that?
Well, it's at least a one-liner, the top headline.
It's true.
Four different top headlines.
These are truly the headlines of the Santa Cruz Sentinel, yep. One from February 11th, one from February 15th, one from February 14th, and one from, out of the line, okay. One from March 22nd.
There we go. Yes.
We haven't seen Dick Wilson resigns yet, though, have we?
No.
It hasn't happened.
I always hope.
Yes, we can. We have a special report from...
Edward.
Edward, what's up?
Well, this is the crime that I see going on.
Okay.
You got some of these secular-like people with their global warming, ice age, all this stuff of the coastlines going, and they're feeding it to kids, man. They don't wait till they get into seventh grade, man. They're taking away faith and strength. They're making them scared and weak. They're evil people, man.
Thank you. So outside the chambers, we have a police officer and perhaps a couple of officials. There's a deputy chief Sapone. We have Shanna McCord of the Sentinel, a newspaper of disregard, or of record, I should say. And the chambers are open. It looks like the festivities are about to begin. And I'm listening in to something going on. So looks like this is actually going to be recorded by the staff for the first time in what, how many years, I don't know. It looks like in the audience about, I don't know, 15 members of the public, including, as I said, reporter Shanna McCord of the Sentinel. And an indie media person is here, too. And there's folks, of course, the pre-radio is here. Lots of people here. Howard Skerry, chief of police, in a business suit, is in the staff position where, oh, the staff person usually sits at these meetings over at the extreme left as you face the podium, as you face the dais. And I guess things are about to begin. I'm going to go over here and try to hook up my machine, too. Hope we got two hooks over here. So I'm looking at the agenda here, and conversation with Councilmember Mike Rodkin, who's the chair of this committee, who's sitting up there now making some notes. He told me that he was going to disregard the agenda and combine the two items, which he said it in the friendliest tone of voice. But again, it's interesting, as this happened last night at City Council, suggestions from Mayor Rodkin seem to become effectuated policy without any kind of, regard for what the stated agenda is, the fact that it's significant what the stated agenda is because there are rights the public has on each agenda item to comment on it. And so if there's more than one agenda item, that means more than one period of public comment, and that's required. For Mike to suddenly announce we're collapsing all this into one item is another approach that will enable him to cut short public comment, which he tends to make a habit of doing. Hey, no sergeants are allowed here, sir. All right. Yeah, just the top guys. Okay. That's a Sergeant Pruger. When is it going to be Lieutenant Pruger? That's what I want to know. No, not interested. Okay. So that's the significance of Rodkin's combining the two items. Any comments? No complaints? No scoffs? No coughs? No gaffes? No laughs? Just some smiles. Thank you.
And that was the intro. That was me talking on a tiny tape recorder as I wandered around the demo. And now we're going to hear the actual Public Safety Committee meeting. However, we're switching to a more proficient and better sound quality recording. That's from the V-Man, who has he's been urging me to upgrade my equipment without success. But we're fortunate enough to have not only what he's done, but you can listen to it yourself at another time by going to indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, or actually you can re-listen to it here on the Huff website at huffsantacruz.org. This again is the Public Safety Committee meeting of March 29th, 2006.
First of all, welcome to everybody and thanks for coming. I have a couple Chair of Mike announcements Rodkin. To make at the start. We're going to adjourn. It says here that we're adjourning to our next regular meeting at 4 p.m. on April 17th, but the City Council meeting yesterday, we actually rescheduled that meeting to the evening at 7 p.m. So we're going to the next regular meeting, and I'll announce this at the end of the meeting as well, the next regular meeting of the Public Safety Committee is going to be on April 17th at 7 p.m., probably in the room behind us here. There's a room that you can get to from out through the courtyard. Secondly, the I guess we'll, before I say anything else, let's take a roll call and call ourselves to order. So I'll just note for the record that all three of the committee members are present. Ryan Coonerty, Ed Porter, and myself, the chair of the Public Safety Committee. I think most of you already know this. We're all members of the Santa Cruz City Council, and we've been appointed by the council as members of a subcommittee to deal with public safety issues. This special meeting was called to address concerns that grew out of a do-it-yourself parade on New Year's Eve and the events leading up to that parade, particularly undercover operation carried out by the Santa Cruz Police Department. And the agenda that's been set out divides things into a number of different topics, but in fact there's really only one topic on this evening's agenda, and that's the way we're going to treat the, and I apologize for the confusion that the agenda itself leads to. Basically, what we want to do is I'll make some brief comments at the outset, then we want to take input from the public about anything that people would like to tell us. Judging by the size of the crowd, I'm going to say that we should have 3 minutes for each person to speak. And after comments are made, we'll bring this back. I will note for the record as well that the police chief, Howard Scarry, is present. Bob Aronson, the city's independent police auditor, is present. John Barisoni from the city attorney, I just saw him, but there he is here as well as a number of other city employees. This is somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but I'm going to apologize for the lack of entertainment value tonight. This would be more fun if there was absolute disagreement about things and people were at each other's throats over this, but I'll make the following observation, which, of course, you'll have a chance to respond to if you disagree with me, but I would make the observation that at this point there's a fair amount of, maybe not 100%, but a fair amount of agreement about the events that took place leading up to the New Year's Eve and on New Year's Eve. There's not, as best I can tell, a huge amount of dispute about what happened. There may be huge dispute about whether it should have happened and what policy should be developed to respond to the situation, but the facts of what happened that evening I don't think are in large dispute. Secondly, I don't think there's a huge dispute among any parties that what happened was not the best, the way the police responded to the situation was not the best way to respond to it, and that there might have been there certainly would be a better way to respond than the undercover operation that was carried out. And third, I think there's pretty widespread agreement that we need a policy in the city. The police department needs a policy to address these kinds of issues in the future so we don't repeat the mistakes, in effect, that were made that night. So, as I said, it would be a much more exciting meeting if basically people disagreed about some of these fundamental things. We could fight over the facts, or people got up and there was going to be huge disagreement about whether we should or shouldn't have a policy at all, or even some of the outlines of what might be in it. Having said that, I'm sure there will be disagreements both tonight and probably in the end about exactly what the policy should be, how it should be worded, how it should be, you know, affected, and so forth. And it wouldn't be Santa Cruz if we didn't have at least some disagreement about things like that. It's unlikely that we march in lockstep on any of these kinds of issues. So, and to get
comment, my editorial prerogative here as the host, Mike Rodkin, of course, is trying to set the scene for his final conclusion, which he, in fact, has already prepared. Although it's true, as Rico Thunder accurately suggested earlier in the conversation he had with me, that Rodkin did not bring a set of pre-planned guidelines to the meeting. What he did bring to the meeting, and I suppose I'm spoiling the fun here, but since this has already been out, I'm going to let you jump ahead if you want, or move on, or switch the channel to a nice music station. What the final decision of this committee was is that that this whole matter be sent to a closed group involving the police chief, the city manager joined on because he was invited, Bob Aronson, the police auditor, and the big addition was Mark Schlossberg, who's the ACLU critic, who would be included. But there was no public access guaranteed to this in terms of no transparency, no meeting of this group schedule, let's say, for interaction with the public and for more information to be gotten out about the issue. It was, in fact, something that Rotkin did whip out, as Rico described, he was afraid might happen, from under the table, and that was ratified. And they knew that when they walked into the room. They heard all the public comment. They attempted to allay the public concern. He framed the public comment, Rotkin did, as, gosh, there's not going to be that much difference of opinion because we all agree there should be guidelines. Everything should be, we agree things didn't happen the way they should be. Everything's okay. I mean, obviously, most of the people in the audience were very angry and felt that there not only should be guidelines, but there should be disciplinary consequences for officers, and there should be exposure of past spying. And that, of course, did not happen. Instead, we got the stonewalling from the police chief, though that stonewalling was rather graphically displayed. And that, of course, is a very interesting part of this hearing, as well as the kinds of comments made by the public, which I think are illuminating and to some extent inspiring and are worth listening to. And if you don't listen to it on this particular occasion, I suggest you check it out either on the Huff website or on indiebay.org, where it's archived. Continuing with Mike Rotkin and his committee of Ryan Coonerty and Ed Porter.
And to give people, I think it's sometimes difficult to comment. I mean, people certainly are free to comment on any aspect of this you like. There's no constraints. I want to hope people will be civil with each other and let people speak without interrupting them and so forth. But I don't want to constrain anybody's comments, but it might be helpful if I say something about where I think we're likely to go after this evening, although I cannot guarantee that that's what will happen. I'm speaking for myself in this regard. We don't have a written policy to present this evening. We don't have outlines of what that might be. Right now, the city has, the police chief has issued a policy that's currently in place for the police department, which is a huge improvement over having no policy, which was our current previous situation. And we are now one of the few cities, actually, in California and perhaps the country that even has a policy.
Of course, it's no improvement whatsoever in the sense that it was a vast policy that essentially justified everything that the officers did in infiltrating the DIY last night parade, even though it was a peaceful parade. It said that whenever any individual is contemplating a crime or is suspected of criminal activity of any kind, either as part of a group or as an individual, this could include any infraction whatsoever, such undercover surveillance is justified. This is the guideline that Rotkin says is currently in force. It was cooked up by Howard Scarry a day or two after, possibly on the same day, that his immediate underling, Deputy Chief Vogel, announced the results of his investigation of himself and those people whom he had authority over and directed to do the surveilling. It's completely farcical, the idea that somehow this is a better, that Scarry's patchwork cover job is a better policy than the non-policy that existed before is deceptive, because it's being issued by the same department that obviously it did have a policy. The policy might not have been a written policy. It was a policy, we'll surveil whoever the hell we want. And I guess you might say that now they're putting it into some kind of words so that it covers everything, or at least the most visible thing they did. But in fact, of course, it's relatively, not just relatively, it's absolutely, it allows them immense discretion. And the idea that that was a vast improvement, and Rotkin is, dressing it up. Oh, there's no other, many other cities don't have such policies. The question is, are many other cities engaging in that kind of surveillance? And more important, is Santa Cruz, our progressive city, engaging in that kind of surveillance? And that is a question that, in spite of the 2 hours ahead, we never have clearly answered. What they do say is, we don't have any records of it, which may mean they've destroyed the records, which may mean they've mislaid the records, which may mean they have no way of searching the records, as, for example, the Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle, an otherwise wretched newspaper, revealed was the case in the San Francisco Police Department a couple months back regarding use of force complaints, that there was no real internal monitoring system in terms of determining who got promoted, and that people with the highest incidents of use of abuse of the public around excessive force were getting promoted or becoming trainers and so forth, because there was no internal system that monitored that. They don't give a shit, folks, and they won't give a shit until we make them give a shit. That, unfortunately, is the bottom line.
See, about undercover operations. The next issue for us, I think, again, you can disagree with me, feel free to do so, but I don't think that our time is best spent at this point going back and completely trying to rehash the details of what went on, although you're certainly welcome to talk about that if you would like. I don't think the city council is going to spend a lot of time in further investigation into the facts that led up to the evening or the evening itself. I think we're more interested in the question of what the policy will be in the future, what the city's policy will be about these issues. I'm hoping that the committee will end up recommending that to the city manager, and by the way, it should be clear, our city charter does not allow us to direct city employees to do things other than the city manager. So we can't tell the police chief, go do this or go do that. It's against the charter of the city of Santa Cruz. What we can do is direct the city manager to do certain kinds of things. And of course, we can criticize the outcomes of these things and suggest different things happen and so forth. So what I'm going to recommend, and I hope that the committee would join me in this, we'll find out at the end, and we may hear the testimony may change our mind about this, is that we would direct the city manager to meet with the police chief, with the city attorney, with Mr. Aronson, the city's independent auditor, and Mark Schlossberg, the police practices attorney for the Northern California American Civil Liberties Union, to work on how to improve the policy that the police chief already had created, and try and address the concerns that are raised this evening by you, as well as explicitly the concerns that Mr. Schlossberg raised in the letter that he's already sent to us, where he raised, I think, five major points about.
And again, I interrupt. So Rutkin here is admitting what I suggested earlier, that they have their prefabricated agenda, which is to forward this proposal to this closed private group, which has one civil liberties advocate in it, which is supposed to be a big improvement over their just announcing and rubber stamping their own policy. Obviously, they feel they don't really want to try to get away with that because there's too much ACLU focus on it, perhaps. Maybe Mike is getting a few disgruntled looks from the local ACLU, which for the first time seems to be coming out of the closet a little bit on this issue. Don Zimmerman appeared at the meeting. He's a local ACLU guy with a statement, which I guess I will read at some point later in the show. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. This is Bathrooms, Pierre's Broadsides. If you have any thoughts you want to call in terms of what we're listening to, or perhaps on civil rights, civil liberties issues, police misconduct in Santa Cruz generally, you can do that, 427-3772, 427-FRSC is the call-in number. You can also join us at pagesincolor.com. Another point is that people might think about as they're listening to this Public Safety Committee meeting from last March, from March 29th, last Wednesday, is what would a real Public Safety Committee do? What would a real City Council Committee committed to making sure that there's no police misconduct and that the rights of peaceful political groups are respected, what would they really do? I mean, wouldn't the first thing they do is they determine if the police chief was in fact telling the truth about whether there had previously been political surveillance, he said there had been no political surveillance other than this particular incident, and other people from the community are just, you know, in disbelief. You heard Sherry Connable, a community peace activist, earlier talk about her, you know, not believing this, because she, as a person who sat out or stood out on the sidewalk at Peace Friday, which happens every Friday at Ocean and Water Streets against the Iraqi War, had observed what appeared to be undercover officers photographing regularly the demonstration. You know, this Public Safety Committee, if it were a real serious body, if it actually were doing what it claims to be doing, would be asking police chief and other police officials and subpoenaing records for the action and saying, you know, asking for the details of these actual surveillances to see if there was surveillance. What we got from the police chief eventually on this issue, and again, I'm skipping ahead, was, we can't find any records of it, which, of course, is a dodge. he's not answering whether it happened. He knows whether it happened or not. It's a small police department. He can answer yes or no. They never ask him that question. That doesn't come up. Or when they ask him that question, if they do, they don't follow it up when he says, we have no records. They don't say, Chief, answer the question. Did it happen? Do you have personal knowledge of this? Were you aware of such surveillance? And then they go down the line, who would normally be in charge of such surveillance, and bring that person forward and ask that person about it. None of that was done. Instead, they're just pursuing a set of fluffy guidelines with some ACLU cover. They're not going to the root of the problem, which is the police department lying about this? Is it regularly engaging in surveillance of peaceful political groups? If it is, how do we stop it? I mean, it's a very simple question. And this is not anywhere being addressed at this meeting. Although you get some hints about what's going on, and the meeting is interesting for that reason.
Points about things he felt were somewhat inadequate in the current policy that the police chief had approved. So that's where I'm hoping we go with this. As I said, that's not the stuff of exciting conflict and so forth, but that's where I'm hoping we go from this to actually do something productive. Again, you could disagree with me and say we should do something different. So having said that, let me ask if my two colleagues have any other introductory remarks they would like to make before we open this up to public comment.
I don't. I'm ready to hear public comment.
Ed, is there anything you'd like to say before we get started? Okay, then we're going to open this up to the public. We have a timer.
I've spent the past week trying to summarize that for people,
What's happened now is we skipped ahead to Bob Aronson, who is the police auditor, which means he is the person who replaced the Citizens Police Review Board previously. The independent attorney for the Citizens Police Review Board, which was a group of citizens who, headed by, when they were destroyed, disbanded, eliminated by Rotkin and Porter, the two of the three members of that committee, as well as the rest of the city council, they were looking into things like selective enforcement, excessive force, racial profiling, issues the city council was not interested in having them pursue. So for, quote, budget reasons, they cut the board, and then they gave them half the money to this guy, Aronson, who I feel committed a very unprincipled move by taking over, by pocketing the cash and then allegedly taking over their job. They didn't do, the Citizens Police Review Board, as I've always said, didn't do their job very well, but they were starting to do it, and that's something the city could not stand. So Aronson is here giving his report. He's the guy who said, wait a minute, Deputy Chief Vogel, who is the guy who investigated the police surveillance of the last night, can't do it because he's the guy who ordered it. Of course, Mike Rotkin should have known this from the get-go. You don't hear him apologizing. You don't hear him saying, I realize this. I'm sorry about this. He takes no responsibility whatsoever. He sat silently throughout this farce while Vogel investigated himself. And then when the report came out, he had no objection. It was only after Bob Aronson blew the whistle, and I guess that's where we give Bob Aronson some credit, though not a hell of a lot as far as I'm concerned, that Rotkin had to say, let's go back into hearings. And what Rotkin did was he shut down the public debate at the previous Public Safety Committee meeting, and now here we are at the next one. And he's trying to respond somewhat to some of the concerns on one level, though, as I mentioned before, on a deeper level, in terms of really going to the real issues, Rotkin is doing his best to cover up anything that might discredit the police department. And by implication or by extension, the city council and the city manager, because, you know, his public safety committee is the city council body that oversees the police department. And if Vogel was fucking up and he was saying nothing, then Rotkin was fucking up. So he's implicated.
A page would have done. I would have written a page and not 35.
Bob Aronson.
Hopefully, and I would urge everyone to actually read the report. I've had people complain it's too long. It's probably one of the shortest reports I've ever written. So attorneys are wordy. The essence of it is that, from my perspective, on the one hand, I think particularly in hindsight, the department should have spent more time considering the alternatives and weighing the decision. I think the department didn't recognize at the time the gravity of the issue. And the second thing, and I get in trouble every time I say it, but I'm going to still say it, the law is not crystal clear in this area. I think it is clear enough that it is possible to offer a concrete opinion. I am persuaded, based on my review of the law and the facts, that in this instance, the police department violated the civil rights of the organizers of the parade. I do not believe that it was done intentionally. In fact, I would go further and say I don't believe there's any evidence to suggest that it was done intentionally. Did that work for everyone? Did I miss something?
It didn't really work for me. What he's saying here is that, see, police departments never really think they're intentionally violating anyone's rights. They think they're simply defending the public safety. That's why they plant evidence. That's why they engage in excessive force. It's only because it's necessary under a certain circumstance to deal with a crime problem. And so they're not really violating people's rights there. They're actually defending the broader rights of the community. And in this surveillance situation and in all the other surveillances that the police did, they were engaging in legitimate purposes to protect people's rights. And they, because there was a possibility of something going out of line with some peaceful protest, or because it might be helpful in perhaps dealing with future criminal activity, they were, you know, actually helping. See, that's what I think is the rationale police officers use. And so I don't really agree with Bob Aronson here. I mean, I don't like the way he puts it. I understand he's trying to do the balancing act. He said, oh, you can't investigate yourself, Deputy Chief Vogel, and it looks like somebody's rights were violated, but none of you guys intended to do it. I mean, it's kind of, I suppose in a certain sense there's some substance to it, in the sense that if a bunch of police officers didn't get together and decide and say, let's violate people's rights. But the question is, should they have known that they were violating people's rights? I mean, shouldn't it have been obvious? And wasn't it obvious in other cases that we're not being allowed to see? And weren't they doing so either because they were following orders or because they thought it was a good thing? So, I mean, and Aronson, of course, is the person who failed to ask the basic question, who else have you been surveilling? When else has this happened? Is this part of another practice? You know, when was the last time you did this? These are obvious questions that Aronson could have asked, but he did not.
Miss something? I tried. Thank you.
Okay. As I said, we'll open this up. When you begin speaking, the light will turn green. When you have 30 seconds left, it'll turn orange or amber. And then when it turns red, we'd like you to finish the sentence that you're on and wrap up your comments. So please come forward. The only limitation here is that it should be something related to this event that we're addressing rather than other kinds of topics. Feel free to come up and share your thoughts. And please show respect for all the speakers. Thank you.
And now we're switching to the next section that the V-Man recorded, public comment. Again, this is available on indiebay.org if you want to review it yourself, as well as the background of this case. The ACLU documents, some of them, the key documents that were unearthed through the ACLU's Mark Schlosser and through Rico Thunder. You can also look at some of my commentary on this, again, at indiebay.org. And I'm wondering where the heck the audio is. Maybe it's just taking a little while to download. Yeah, it's taking a little while to download. It should be here shortly. Again, phone number if you want to call in. If you have some thoughts on this, 427-3772, 427-FRSC. And still hoping we will have this thing downloaded shortly. I think it's a somewhat longer piece, so it may take a moment to download. In fact, you know, while I'm waiting for the download, I think we're going to do a quick shift here and play a street interview while we're waiting, so stay tuned.
This is from a member of the public. Your name, sir?
Barbara Whiteall.
And Mr. Whiteall, you say that this city is not treating street musicians the way it should. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's like they have a statue honoring a street musician, and then they want to charge them for like displaying their placards wrong, or the citizens of Santa Cruz do not tip street musicians. They treat us like we're panhandlers and we're nothing, when the fact that some of us are composers and artists putting our music out for people to hear and not getting any respect for it, but getting treated like we're like low-life panhandlers and stuff.
I see people with their dogs walking around and get more respect than human beings do. It seems that anybody within a lower income bracket is a second-class citizen. You know,
you in fact are a cellist yourself.
Concerned. You know, they can, you know, they can bite me, so...
You were a cellist actually was going to court on April 4th, right?
Yeah. And for two tickets.
For...
Supposedly obstructing a sidewalk, which, is, as we all know, is a load of crap. You know, I did no such thing. You know, I didn't see anybody having any trouble negotiating, you know, by or next to my cello case. Wasn't even in the way of anyone's path or impeding them in any way.
Have you been playing a cello since downtown?
I've been playing it for a couple of years now, and I've gotten nothing but shit from law enforcement here. You know, I see people dealing drugs all the time right in front of my face, and the cops nowhere to be seen. And then, like, the minute I'm playing my cello, somehow they have a problem with it because I'm a stationary target, and I'm easy to target. You know, they're lazy and unobjective, and, you know, interpret the law at their own whim. I mean, you know, it's just like this whole law against like marijuana stuff. It's like if their kid smokes pot, then they might go easy on people that smoke pot, or if their kid's a musician, then they might take it easy. But if they're not, and they're, you know, conservative and like, you know, just hate anyone that seems to be loitering on the street or what they consider loitering, then they'll go after you. You know what I'm saying? There's no consistency. There's no honor, and there's no justice anymore. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous.
Have you been playing today? I see you have your cello with you on your back there.
Yeah, I've been playing today.
Have you been hassled?
Not yet. I'm just waiting.
Has it happened in the last week?
Not in the last week.
So you think are they laying off? Are they elsewhere? Or what's your analysis of what's going on?
I think they're laying off because every time they seem to get into it with me, there's a lot of people that rally to my aid. So
is that important that the people, public members of the public, support street performers?
I think so too, but also thinks it makes me a public target, you know, for their campaign against the homeless and the poor. It becomes ridiculous when it's like illegal to be a human being anymore, you know.
I showed you this flyer that says 10-minute trespass laws coming up, at least before the downtown commission, making it illegal to be in a parking lot or a parking garage for more than 10 minutes. But then only if you have a car or bicycle, you won't be allowed in parking lots or garages at all. What's your reaction to this law?
Oh, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's a waste of manpower resources. And I also think it's an attempt by the police department and the city of Santa Cruz to raise funds and revenue for their already, you know, dwindling, quotas for, like, you know, like arrests and things like that to justify the manpower that they have out here, you know, policing the streets. And not to mention, like, where's their line anymore? I mean, is it going to become illegal for you to walk down Pacific Avenue unless you have a shopping bag and receipts in your hand, you know, and proof of purchase that you're a patron of one of these stores? I mean, is that what it's going to come down to now? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, how ridiculous is that? Pretty soon, like, the sidewalk will become private property. And, you know, you'll have to, like, show them your pass, you know. There is your papers, yeah. You know, are your papers in order? You know, it's just ridiculous, man.
Well, we are at war, my boy.
War with who?
Well, war in Iraq, war with Al-Qaeda, war against the terrorists. Are you a traitor?
War against everybody, you know, fucking whatever.
Now, you're going to court on April 4th to fight these two citations?
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, going to try and get them disqualified. If I can.
And that's referee basket?
Yeah. as far as I know. I don't really know. I asked for a different judge, so as far as I know, a different judge is going to hear my case. But
I hope so. I would encourage you to go down to the court before April 4th, go to the window of the court and ask, have I got another judge, and is it going to be okay for me on April 4th to go in and disqualify the referee? Because I'm afraid they may tell you no, that she pulled a fast one on you when she said she was going to allow you to disqualify her, and then for some reason did not. Because disqualifications usually happen at the arraignment. If she gives you a trial date in her court, I've never heard of it where...
Well, I'll tell you what, for the record, and as far as I know, there was a transcriptionist there, you know, the guy, lady typing, a man or a woman, I couldn't remember.
Probably not a transcription, but she was a clerk.
A clerk, and I said, you know, completely and very clearly, I wish to move this to a higher court, some kind of higher power authority, you know, and that I didn't recognize her as a ordained or commissioned judge. And so if I didn't make it any clearer than that, there should be a different judge hearing my case.
So, right. Well, if you do get down,
we could go back into the court records and find out, because I know they record everything in there. So,
well, unfortunately, infractions, they don't usually make a transcription. This was an infraction court.
And really?
If you said that you didn't recognize her authority, she might have thought, oh, we have one of them religious zealots in here. Therefore, I'll just plead him not guilty and try him myself. I don't know. I wasn't present. But
well,
I mean,
I'll tell you what. My girlfriend was present. She was there as a witness. So, if anything, I could use that to corroborate what.
Okay. You know. Well, let me know how it goes. If you get down there before April 4th and you find out that you are, you know, destined to be in four, I can try to come that day and at least be a witness.
If you could do that, that'd be wonderful. I'd like it, yeah.
You want other members of the public to attend?
Sure, if you can gather other people, rally them together. If not, your presence down there might be helpful, considering that I don't really know the municipal codes of the city of Santa Cruz. They change so often, you know, it's kind of hard to keep track of that shit.
Yeah, it's a moving target. It's not so much they change, it's the policies of the police and the whims of the individual officer. Although this is a new code coming up for parking lots and garages. April 4th is a... You know what day that is? I'm not sure what day that is. Today is
Tuesday.
March... When would
it's
April
a Tuesday.
4th be?
It's a day
Anybody
for
know
tomorrow.
Here...
I don't know.
Okay, but April 4th, anyway, at 10 a.m. in the morning, come to the basement of the county building to the department that's in the basement. There's only one department, one court in the department in the basement, right next to the law library. And support Brandon. Your last name is?
Smith.
And that's what you're on the calendar as.
Yeah.
All right, Senor Smith. My apologies for the... horse shit you're undergoing.
Yeah, you know, whatever. It's horse shit, and like any other horse shit, you just need to, you know, dig a hole and shovel it in there. And it's ridiculous that they'd even go this far, you know. Like I said, I'm surprised they're not just like openly, like, you know, like beating homeless people in the street, you know, with their batons. And that's practically what they're doing. You know, they're waging war on our economy and on people's ways of life, you know, even though they're, you know, without provocation.
Well, I say play on.
Right, which is what I'll do, but I find it to be just an absolute, like, blatant and open violation of people's civil liberties and without regard, you know. And
these
people need to be held accountable, no matter what they do. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, like, you know, excessive use of force, whatever, or even like, you know, like, you know, any kind of, like, misconduct like that needs to be, like, you know, addressed. And
that's for sure. That's what we're trying to do on these shows.
Brought to light.
And hopefully people will show up at your trial April 4th in Department, what is it, 10 in the basement. It's the only department in the basement. Thank you, Brandon.
Right, and you know what? Don't be afraid of gathering. Don't be afraid of, like, what you might lose, because, like, if you let them keep letting them do this, you're going to lose everything.
Here, here.
I believe that's going to be at 10 a.m. day after tomorrow in the Department 10 in the basement, the only courtroom in the basement. It's possible that if Brandon really wants to have referee Kim Baskett disqualified, which I urge people to do generally, because in spite of her friendly demeanor and her apparent attempts to be helpful to defendants, it's sort of like having, you know, your... the slave owner being helpful to you and giving you a nice meal and that sort of thing, but not affording you your rights. I mean, she does not advise people that they have a right to, at least this is what I observe, that they have a right, for example, to a jury trial and a public defender on misdemeanor counts. Rather, she takes their guilty plea and then and tells them she'll reduce their sentence. She's slippery around these issues, just like the previous referee, John Mulligan, was. Mad Dog, or Meat Grinder Mulligan, as they used to call him. So I'm going to be there at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. I encourage you to come and support Brandon, but be prepared for the fact that it may be, A, you may have to wait for a bit, so bring a book, because they can choose when the cases come, and B, it may not actually go, because if he's able to disqualify her, it will be put, set for a new court date. But that doesn't mean that Brandon doesn't need support. He does. Also, I encourage anybody going to court to do two things. First, go to the law library in the basement of the county building, which is right next to that court, and look up the law that you're charged with violating. Make a copy of the law and start thinking about the actual wording of the law. If you can find any prior cases about that law, and that's sometimes hard with these infraction codes. If you're being charged with a penal code, like a misdemeanor or a felony, God help you, then there is going to be some history as to the code section. But the first thing you want to know is what you're being charged with. Look up that and start studying it. You might ask for some help from the librarians. They can be helpful. Disqualify the referee under 170.6 CCP. That's 170.6 Code of Criminal Procedure. That is the code section that says you have a right to one disqualification of a judge. Some would claim you can also demand to be tried before a full judge without exercising that what's called peremptory challenge, but that's never been successfully used in Santa Cruz court that I'm aware of. So 170.6 CCP is to disqualify the referee. The third thing is call the Huff line, 423-HUFF. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. We're concerned particularly about civil rights violations around these crazy downtown ordinances, even if you're not homeless, sitting on the sidewalk, innocent behavior that the police essentially are enforcing a merchant code of privatizing the area while at the same time not having not taking the responsibility to pay for enclosing the mall. They want you to act as though they're taking responsibility for what goes on when they're not really. They're just controlling you. So call the Huff Not line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, which you can also do, by the way, if you have comments on this show that you don't want to make on air but you want me to know about, because I check that line daily, sometimes more than once, 423-4833. If you want to be a guest on the show, that's another reason you might call it. Anyway, call it and say you're going to be going to court at a certain time. Once you've disqualified the referee, she'll give you a date in another court. You don't actually even have to go into her court to disqualify her. You can just go up to the window, give us a letter saying, I swear that I believe referee Basket to be prejudiced under 170.6 CCP. I wish to have the case put in another court, and they'll give you another court date upstairs. You then go to that court date, and you plead not guilty at the arraignment. And then you'll get set for trial a week later. Now, sometime, often before the arraignment, it's useful to go up there, but make sure you've disqualified Basket first. It's senseless to put on a good case before a judge who isn't going to hear you anyway. This is not to sort of criticize Basket as a human being. It's just her job is to roll out fines for the county. I mean, that's what she does. And it doesn't mean that she doesn't find some people not guilty. I'm sure she does. And some people like her. And there's some people who disagree with my assessment, I should say. But you're more likely in another court for them to be respectful of your rights, even if they don't trust you and do trust the police department, which, of course, is what you're going to find in any court. And there are a couple of tips which we'll talk about at some point. If you get in touch with Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which meets every Wednesday, 9:30, in the atrium, the breezeway right outside the courthouse. We have a meeting that extends for 2 hours. Or you can just call the Huff line, leave a description of your case, contact point. Maybe we can arrange to get together. There are various pretrial motions you can make, pitches motions, necessity defense motions, all kinds of things, which you wouldn't know about if you just walked in cold. And we're not lawyers, but some of us have had experience with these cases because we've seen them, dozens of them, I might even say hundreds of them, go past us. So get in touch, 423-HUFF, and it doesn't cost you anything. This is a community service, believe it or not. We're not getting paid for it. Anyway, I'm going to go back to the Public Safety Committee. Sorry I've delayed for so long. We were at the public comment period. This is the discussion of the DIY last night. spying, the police spying on the Peaceful Political Parade group that formed. They had a very successful parade, even though they weren't funded with a lot with oodles of merchant money. Now, I'm switching to my own recording of this, which is not as high quality as the V-man's, because for some reason I can't download his public comments on this computer. Obviously, I'm showing my incompetence again, but I'm going to continue, and probably I'll continue to be incompetent until helped in another direction. So stay tuned. If you have any comments during this that you want to put on the air, 427-3772 is the line. I remind you, in about half an hour, if Keith McHenry follows through on this, we should be hearing from that Food Not Bombs co-founder from Tucson, Arizona, a live phone interview.
Fred, I did it for the courage to speak first.
You all know I'm not bashful, I guess. Good evening. Fred Geiger, Santa Cruz. I know enough about all three of you to know that you are actually quite concerned about civil rights, and you have, you know, all acted in your lives accordingly in the past, so I'm glad that we share that. I also know when a person gets elected to an office, they tend to be insulated, not that they want to be, but it's just the nature of the dynamic from the rest of the public. So I want to run a quick scenario on you, a scenario. Imagine that you, being concerned as you are about the well-being of the world, and perhaps, let's say in this case, a war that you feel is not right, and you think you should organize a demonstration and have a meeting in your home to do so, and nothing, you know, radical or rowdy is intended, just a peaceable activity in public. And let's say after a while, a few meetings, you find out that you had a couple FBI agents in your living room, not identifying themselves, actually going out of their way to not identify themselves. You might feel less than overjoyed about that situation. And I'm hoping that you can put yourself in the position of people who obviously had a similar situation, although it wasn't FBI agents, and understand that, you know, perhaps while no crime was committed by them doing that, it certainly is a chilling type of activity. And I hope also you'll recognize that, as the police, I believe, have admitted in public, that there was no indication before or after these undercover operatives attended these meetings that any kind of violence was either planned or likely to occur. So that makes it, I think, even more of a mistake that the surveillance continued. And I understand that there was some concern because previously there had been some violence on New Year's Eve or window smashing. It's ironic because the group that put this parade together was trying to replace the parade or the activity that was created to try to prevent this violence. Unfortunately, they didn't have a lot of money to spend, which was also their predecessor's problem, and therefore they had to do it without some permits, fees, overtime for the police, etc. So what I'm saying is I think they were well-intentioned, and I think that you yourself, if you were in the position of the organizers for some similar purpose, would not feel like you like to have unannounced police surveillance. And so I'm hoping that you will make clear in the future to our police department where the boundaries are. And as a guideline, I think you're aware of the fact that San Francisco and Washington, D.C. have a fairly well thought out policy on this issue, and you can use that as a reference to get a complete and thorough policy that will protect citizens from this kind of intrusion on their privacy rights and free speech rights. Thank you.
Fred, you're not required to, but you may wish to share your name with folks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fred Geiger, Santa Cruz resident. Thank you.
Fred is wrong on one point. The mythology spread by the police department and authorities generally is that there was violence at past New Year's events that was provoked or that was a result of inadequate police control, or that, you know, that maybe some sort of rowdy demonstrators planning and plotting or things getting out of hand. In fact, the main event that they refer back to, and as we've documented on this show, and you can find it by referring back in the archives of HuffSantaCruz.org, where these shows' archives are kept. In 1993-94, on that New Year's Eve, the police decided to close down things early at the town clock, and in order to do so, began beating people, hitting them on the knuckles with their batons under the leadership of then-Sergeant, now-Deputy Chief Patty Cipone. As a result, and they also then channeled them downtown, and the people began to break windows. So the police provoked a riot. And, of course, this is not been acknowledged by the police department, but was documented by, I would say, at least a dozen witnesses, half of whom we have on this, are on tape. If you want to go back and listen to them, you can do it today. Go to HuffSantaCruz.org, look for the show description. I think it was November or October, and you'll find that documentation. Clearing this up, because I don't like this constantly repeated refrain that it was the police are saving us from the violence of the community. The police are violent, and they're provoking problems in the community is what I find is often the case. And where it's the case, we have to acknowledge it as such. Where it's not the case, of course, which we also should acknowledge.
Other speakers, please come up.
Members of the Public Safety Committee, and it's nice to see you, Chief. Okay. And Bob. I am Wes Modes, Santa Cruz resident for almost 20 years now, and I'm one of the people who, more than likely, whose civil rights was violated, one of the parade planning people. I don't get much chance to talk to Howard Scarry, so I just wanted to ask you while you're here. Can you tell us if there's any other police operations where police monitored groups engaged in First Amendment activities, say, in the last 3 years?
Wes, the way we're going to handle this is you can ask the question, we'll
okay.
get back to you. So that's fine.
Sort of like radio.
If you want to answer, please make them clear and
okay.
we'll redirect.
I'll take my answer off the air, as they say, right? So rather than starting from the point of view of Chief Scarry's policy, which I think Mark Slosberg articulately argued was inadequate. We've prepared for you a modification of the San Francisco policy that is it's the one set labeled Section 610 Santa Cruz Police Department Guidelines for First Amendment Activities. I think you all have that. So I'd like to ask that you use that as a starting point for your work rather than try to make Chief Scarry's policy compliant. I think it'd be a challenge. So I think that any policy created by the council must have, as a bare minimum, explicit protections for First Amendment activities, definitions of what those activities might be, limits on police power regarding those First Amendment activities, steps the police have to take before considering monitoring a group, rules of conduct, and probably most importantly, an auditing requirement. I think we've seen what happens when the police themselves in particularly even in this instant. So thank you very much. I appreciate your real thoughtful consideration of this and your willingness to work with the ACLU on this. Thank you.
Thanks. Also, I should have told people, I mean, maybe everybody assumes this, but we're taping this meeting, and the reason for that is not to create a new record, but so that we can actually respond to all the comments that people make and make sure that the city manager and others get a chance to hear all the comments.
Note here, that's Chair Rutkin speaking, that he now allows for the possibility that he won't be recording other Public Safety Committee meetings. He's not establishing a precedent, but he'll only record this one. It's important to me that these meetings be recorded because I can't run to all these meetings with my tape recorder, and I think the public deserves to know what the only group that is officially keeping track of the police department, other than the once-a-year audit that Bob Aronson does behind closed doors, for that matter, except for his oral report to the city council that he makes once a year. It's important we know what the Public Safety Committee has talked about, even if we can't come to their 4 o'clock, sometimes move to 7 o'clock, sometimes suddenly called at quick times, at unusual times, on short notice. What's going on there? And we can't know that if all we have is a sort of an action agenda or even a more elaborate description of the minutes. And, of course, even the minutes have been cut back. If you may look at city council, you can't see what people are saying anymore who present public testimony on any item other than oral communications. Again, thanks to Mike Rotkin and others who somehow suggest that that's a good way of saving money and saving staff time. So encourage people to contact Rotkin at 420-5023, that's his hotline, and demand that there be records of the Public Safety Committee. That is to say that the Public Safety Committee meetings be recorded and available to the public, not that they're going to say anything you're necessarily going to want to hear, but it makes them slightly more public conscious if they're aware that there is a record being kept of what they're doing. And what Rotkin has said here is that there's not necessarily going to be a record being kept of subsequent meetings.
Good evening, council members. My name is Celia Scott, longtime resident, former mayor of the city. First, I would really like to compliment Mr. Aronson on his report. I thought it was, well, when I read it, I thought this is a breath of fresh air. It really said things that needed to be said, and it said them very, very well. And I'm glad that the city has a police auditor that does a good job. I'm also glad to hear that you are going to have, or rather the city manager is going to have a meeting with Mr. Schlossberg and the other individuals that you mentioned. And I think having reviewed Mark's letter, Mark Schlossberg's letter, and also looked at my letter February 13th, which raised many of the same issues, I think there is a possibility, if this is done properly and conscientiously and thoroughly, and that the San Francisco model is taken seriously, that we can create something in our community which will not only be a model, as Mr. Schlossberg suggested, but it will also help to reestablish the trust that I believe has been broken between the police department and many members of the community, including people who were not at all involved in the do-it-yourself parade, but who were shocked when they discovered what had happened with regard to undercover operations. So I won't go into great detail here, because I think Mr. Schlossberg's letter, my own letter, make it pretty clear what needs to be done, and that the current policy, while it is certainly an improvement over no policy, is really insufficient and inadequate, and we need something that really protects the civil liberties of all the people in the community. But I would like to ask how you envision this process going forward. If that group is to meet, I would hope that you would bring a draft policy back to this committee so that it could be reviewed and we could have public input into it before it is sent on to the whole council. I understand that you do not have the ability to, the council does not have the ability to direct the police chief, but you do have the ability to say, hear from the community and have the ability to say to the city manager, this is our consensus as to the policy that we believe ought to be adopted. So I would suggest that instead of something being fast-forwarded to the city council on April 11th, that instead this gathering of you know, the individuals, city manager and Mr. Aronson and Mr. Barisoni and Mr. Scare, take place, something be fleshed out, brought back to this committee so we can all review it, and then be sent on to the city council. Thank you very much.
Others? Please come up, don't be shy.
I'll give you something for entertainment. I think what you've done already and your considerations, if you support the current police policy, it would be utter hypocrisy, because I know that you guys are members of the ACLU and you politically correctly opposed the Bush administration and all that, but your own policies and actions in Santa Cruz are just as fascist as theirs. It seems that just like most other totalitarian governments, you use the excuse of public safety to allow the police to spy on anyone who, according to their new policy, if any member of the group has committed a crime, they're allowed to spy on them. And by that would make what they did perfectly legal. It would also allow them actually greater powers than what they've already done. It would, and to claim that they would not abuse this power is utterly ridiculous, because obviously it's an explicit statement that they are legally entitled to do exactly that. So just because it's in Santa Cruz doesn't mean it's any less wrong than if it was happening on a national level. So I urge you to support the modified San Francisco one. The people here have created. Thank you.
And that speaker, you note, did not give his name because he doesn't trust the city council particularly. He's come to a number of protests. Another point that's well taken here is the fact that while all this is being gabbed about, the guidelines that are currently in force are these, we do what we want if we think you're suspected of a crime guidelines that Scary cooked up himself. the same police chief that allowed this whole process of abusive police surveillance to go on, not just in this DIY, but it looks like in a number of other cases. And then obviously, as you will hear, stonewalls at this meeting. So I had suggested and requested months ago that there be a freeze on police undercover spying on peaceful political groups, period. That's it. During the time when the city council is fumbling around looking for real guidelines, or earnestly looking for real guidelines, which they're not, in my view. Otherwise, they'd be asking real questions about past instances of surveillance and tracking those instances down and seeing where the problem really lies. But they're not. So they don't. There's no freeze being contemplated. So as we speak here today, 4 days after this hearing, which is the Public Safety Committee of the March 29th, we have nothing in place but scaries. I cook up my own guidelines to cover my own police department. That's what we got. Just like we had Vogel's investigation to cover his own ass, now we have Scary's guidelines to cover his own department. And Rotkin had not a word of criticism for any of this. You know, he didn't propose something to freeze the situation while this discussion was taking place. And it looks like it's going to go beyond April 11th, the next city council meeting, because there probably won't be time. They're going to report back to this little closed group involving Bob Aronson, city manager, police chief, will be talking about guidelines, then coming back to the Public Safety Committee for another meeting, and then going to City Council, I believe. And so it's going to be sometime in late April at the earliest. During that time, you can, you know, there's no assurance that, you know, and Matthews ducked this question when I asked it to her. That's Mayor Matthews, Mayor Cynthia Matthews. It's a matter of real concern that there is no freeze in place. Let's hear more. And let's see if we, you know, you can always call in 420-5023. Tell Rotkin to put it on the next council agenda. While we're waiting, let's make sure that they aren't engaging in surveillance of peaceful political groups, period.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Israel, and I've lived here 10 years. So I just wanted to bring up one particular point in this complex, and that is when people are in private meetings or semi-public meetings that are doing First Amendment work, it's very easy for the observer, the government observer that's not disclosing their role, to become an agent provocateur. And this happens so often. It's such a slippery slope that I think we have to take this possibility very seriously. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mike Allen. I'm a citizen of Santa Cruz, taxpayer. And I'm here to speak in favor of the police department. When I read about the hullabaloo in the newspaper, I went to the website that Mr. Modis had put up. I didn't know that at the time, that it was Mr. Modis. And I'd just like to share some of the comments that were made in the website. I think you've heard these before and have seen them yourselves, but I think it's important to have them on the record. This was a celebration without permits and permission. The purpose was blowing minds and making revolution. A direct quote, "We make the city, not a bunch of yahoos." I guess that's you. "We will reclaim our streets." I'm not quite sure what that meant. And it asked for volunteers to provide legal service, suggesting that they expected legal problems. They said safety is a concern because of the fire dancers, which wasn't quite sure what that meant, but it seemed to mean that there was going to be a lot of fire downtown in the streets. This is against a backdrop, which you're well familiar of. There were 7 stabbings at Halloween. The Sentinel has described downtown as a place where public urination, drug use, car burglaries, and assaults are increasing. This council members themselves, if I read the newspaper correctly, had expressed concerns to the police, suggesting that they look into this. So as one citizen and taxpayer, I think the police did the right thing, and I think you'd be wrong to put handcuffs on them. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Other comments?
Good evening. My name is Casas Caracristos. I was born and raised in Santa Cruz, and I'd just like to comment. I agree with our last speaker. I think some might say that it was a violation of First Amendment rights. I thought it was great police work, a great investigating. The police in this town have a very difficult job. They live in a very diverse, unique society, and they literally do their job with kid gloves. I mean, they're trying to work in an environment where they want to respect everyone's rights. I think we have one of the most sensitive, professional police units in all of California, and it's an attribute to Mr. Scary here. The things that we need to realize is that we're really spending a lot of time on this when we should be looking at ways of increasing resources for police. I mean, we're having some difficulties downtown. We need to be able to provide them with resources. We just loaned for a skate park $350,000 to do a skate park, which is great. I agree with that, but we're deferring the hiring of three extra police officers so we can buy vehicles for them. So what we need to do is give them the resources to do their jobs. It was great police work. I mean, I'll give you another analogy. Are we going to start identifying ourselves? Are police going to be required to identify themselves when they're going to make a drug buy? Are they violating the drug seller's rights by not identifying themselves? I mean, we need to be reasonable here and work within reason with regards to what's being done, breaking the law. And they literally did break the law by not getting permits and so forth, and I'm surprised they weren't cited. Thank you.
And it's interesting that the whole discussion, which originally he's here, of course, he just heard a defender of the police department, and two police officers did write the Good Times. I'm one police officer of the two who was actually doing the surveilling. A guy also called Wes, claiming that there was an illegal act contemplated, a relatively minor one, which Santa Cruz traditionally police officers don't issue citations for, and this one they didn't issue a citation for it either. You would have thought if there were something serious, that there was a real justification for undercover work, they would have issued a citation. When the actual parade came down the road without a permit. So the fact that they didn't indicates that this wasn't the real reason. I mean, it wasn't really the real concern. And the point I'm making is I've made this point before in argument with these folks. Now I'm not even arguing with them. The real concern, of course, it's rather that the dialogue has shifted here so that nobody really, the position that it's credible to spy on people because of a proposed municipal code infraction is not really a viable one anymore. There has to be a real public health and safety issue. I mean, even I think, although I could be wrong, the Public Safety Committee doesn't believe that. And probably even the police department will concede that it's not really the basis for expending the public resources to send in undercover officers. The drug war analogy that the man makes, we can't make drug buys if people have to identify themselves. I'd be very happy if we couldn't make drug buys. But there obviously are other circumstances involving, if hate crimes are planned, the police department officers, some of them get together and decide to beat up homeless people as they did in the late 70s under the Code Blue violence program, the Code Blue criminal conspiracy. You want to have some way to have the police department infiltrate that. Of course, since it's in the police department, they'd already know about it, and they wouldn't be infiltrating it, they'd be condoning it. But that's another matter. I mean, there are some, obviously, circumstances where crimes of violence are being planned, or, for that matter, white-collar fraud, is being planned, no doubt going on every day, that it would be nice to have the police department be able to infiltrate and gather evidence against and or prevent. That's acceptable. But my point is that the dialogue has shifted. We don't have this. This is no longer even considered a legitimate argument justifying what they did. It's sort of similar to the shibboleth that was pulled out about the 1994, about saying that there was violence at New Year's, therefore, and there was violence at Halloween, real violence at Halloween, but it didn't involve the police or lack of control. It involved the gang situation, which just happened downtown, and the idea that that could have been stopped. I guess you could infiltrate the gangs, and they didn't. They probably didn't even plan it there. So the examples are not really relevant to this discussion. If you have any, by the way, different point of view, and you're listening to Free Radio 101.1 FM and also freakradio.org on the internet, and you can go to pagesandcolor.com to check out the chat room. We're doing a little chatting. Or actually, I'm chatting with myself right now, but I could be chatting with you or with some other folks. Check it out. Again, the call in line 427-3772. I'm hoping that we will have a Keith McHenry on the line in about 10 minutes, but because of daylight savings time confusions, it may be an hour and 10 minutes, and we'll just have to see what happens. Back to the public comment section of the Public Safety Committee meeting, chaired by ACLU director, never met a police appropriation he didn't like, Mike Rotkin.
Hi. My name is Lisa Mastromico. I'm a Santa Cruz resident of almost 10 years now. I just wanted to encourage people to not make assumptions about other people in their community. While not a fire dancer myself, it's actually not, it doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be a lot of fire downtown. And in fact, the reason why people often have to have a pre-request for legal help is because of exactly what we saw happen here. And being involved in legal protests myself, and knowing what happens and how people's civil rights get violated all the time right in front of your eyes, it's really important to have legal observers and legal help, so that doesn't automatically mean that somebody's planning on doing something illegal. In fact, it means that they're just trying to protect their right to do what the Constitution says that we have the right to do. And quite frankly, I think that we need to spend a lot of time on this, and I appreciate the time that the council spent on it, and I appreciate the time they're spending tonight, and I'd like to agree with Celia Scott, and I hope that you put forward a draft resolution in this committee before you send it to the city council, so people can talk about it more, because considering what's going on at a federal level, I think it's really critical to be extremely diligent in dealing with this matter. So I, in fact, do think that it's something that is worthy of time, though at the same time, I do understand the resource considerations, and you know, there's other things going on that we need more resources for as well, but I want to thank you for the time you spent, and I hope that we can spend more and open up to the public more as well. Thanks.
Good evening. Is it time to start? My name is Chris Solem, and I've been a resident in Santa Cruz for 12 years. I'm a native of San Francisco. Well, it's true that police have legitimate rights to investigate these groups, but there's no reason they couldn't have come in uniform. And I think that would, one, increase the level of trust between the community and the police. Sending undercover officers into a political gathering of this nature is, you know, if it was a Democratic or Republican Party gathering and the chief of police decided, based on the fact that politicians have been known to take bribes, for example, that they should be investigating a local fairly powerful organization versus an organization with very little political power, that would certainly be viewed as a completely inappropriate activity. Now, we know that a Republican, Dick Cunningham, was recently wiretapped, but I imagine that a judge was involved in that activity. And that's why one of the things I urge the council to do is to introduce a policy of judicial oversight of any investigation, which means I think the judiciary in this county can be trusted to maintain confidentiality, but I think that a separate set of records should be maintained with the judiciary. And this is a basic, I don't mean to try and give you a civics lesson, but the basic of our democracy is a system of checks and balances in which all three branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary, share power, and there is no unitary, unilateral action on the part of any one branch of the government. And also, I would like to say that the access by civilians to police records once an investigation is concluded is also extremely important. I feel that, for example, if I wish to see if the Santa Cruz Police Department had been spying on me personally, I should be able to do that. I hope you would agree. And again, these guidelines are pretty good. They don't have anything about judicial oversight in them. And again, you know, the legitimate activity of the police is to maintain public safety, not to eavesdrop on particular political groups. And, you know, regardless of their... And I think that's why the record keeping is very important, and the accountability is also very important. And I don't really have a whole lot else to say, but I do think that the access by civilians... the two main points I wish to leave you with are the access by civilians to police records if an investigation is no longer in progress, and secondly, the need for judicial oversight of these types of investigations. Thank you for your time and your efforts.
Thanks.
And what's not mentioned by the speaker, of course, is that the police department can do things without making records of them, of course, and so that short-circuits any kind of judicial or citizen oversight. But what, in fact, needs to be done here, because they are talking to a legislative body, is for the legislature to really oversee this and to ask hard questions of officers who really know what went down. I mean, Howard Scarry has been in the force for over 20 years, so he knows what's happening. Ask him, you know, were there other surveillances that happened of peaceful political groups in the last 5 years that you know of? And then when he says, we have no records, that's obviously an evasive answer. You know, it doesn't answer, did it happen to your knowledge, whether you have records or not. So we need to also, there needs to be a legislative commitment to addressing this issue. For example, at one point there was a law being proposed by Wes Modes, also known as Rico Thunder, that there be a municipal code that actually penalizes and sanctions officers who violate these guidelines, who actually spy on citizens illegally, as a way of deterring that kind of police misconduct. The same proposal was used up in Arcata to deal with those who collude with Patriot Act criminals, in my mind, who are violating the Constitution, snooping into our libraries, preparing us all for the police state that we're in fact. And that law was passed by Arcata. It makes it an infraction crime to cooperate with Patriot Act officials in ways that violate constitutional rights of local residents. Rotkin opposed that law locally. So did Ed Porter. It was all opposed because they took their cue from City Manager for Life Dick Wilson, who said, oh, that's going to violate our charter. There were different opinions on that issue. And could have been different ways to go. But there was another law proposed, again, more recently with a spy scandal broke, that said, you know, let's sanction the police and make it illegal to do that. That, of course, is not brought up here and is not being proposed by Mike Rotkin at the same time as he allows Howard Scarry's patchwork guidelines, opportunistic guidelines, to proceed with no freeze on the surveillance of peaceful political groups. Because, you see, he trusts the police department. But wasn't that the problem in the first place?
Hello. Let's see. My name is Douglas Cronin. I've lived here about 12 years. And I haven't actually had a chance to see the report yet, though I am planning to check it out. Some of my concerns about this particular event, I was not an organizer for the event, but I was aware of the people involved in it, and I thought it was going to be a great community event to replace something that costs a lot of money for something that costs basically none. And I think one of the important things for me in this is it's been poo-pooed a little bit, I think, by you guys, but the whole like Homeland Security, that you know the police aren't really utilizing that directly. But I think that we do have to consider what exactly Homeland Security money is being used for, and if files are being shared, things like that. So that's one concern. Another thing that maybe could have alleviated this, that the council could have done, specifically related to this event, was that it's the whole shutting off of downtown Pacific Avenue would have made this event legal. So that would have been something to consider ahead of time. Another concern that I have, and that I've spoken with a few people about this, is some of the potential for police harassing actually people that come forward and have some sort of dissent. So I would encourage you for some of these rules. I've actually directly talked to people who are involved in trying to get police oversight who have told me, it's very difficult, of course, to come forward and say this, but that they've had the police drive by their house, things like this, and threatening types of overtures made to them. So I think that there needs to be some sort of, this to be accounted for. And one final thing is that I think that the cost is directly related to this event, actually, rather than general undercover activities, but just the ridiculous cost of permits. I think that notification of an event of this nature would have been enough. So, anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Dr. Wells, please.
My name is Don Zimmerman, appearing here as a member of the board of the Santa Cruz chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union, and with your permission, I'd ask the statement be included for the record. Thank you. Simply like to say that in agreement with the independent auditor's report, which we are in generally great agreement, we think that the exercise here shouldn't have anything to do with assigning blame for the incident that took place on New Year's Eve, but rather, as Mr. Aronson said, there's an opportunity here as a city and as a community to move to a more sophisticated model of handling such situations. We think he's right about that. The Attorney General has spoken to that and saying, for example, the best assurance for public acceptance of intelligence operations are clear guidelines that focus intelligence efforts on illegal activities and not to encourage surveillance of people or groups engaged in acts of protest or civil disobedience. We and the Santa Cruz chapter have been in consultation with our parent body, the Northern California office of the ACLU, and their expert there, Mark Schlossberg, who is the police practices policy director, who's written a detailed letter to this committee, to the council, and others in the community, detailing the ACLU recommendations, which I think are well taken, for what should be taken up in a thorough, comprehensive review of the existing policy that was adopted, as I understand it, in February. And so, just to mention those without going, no point in going into that detail here, we're urging that the Santa Cruz Police Department policy should address referencing our state's constitutional rights to privacy, which there are many California court cases saying that are broader than the federal protections of civil rights, narrowing the policy's circumstances warranting undercover operations in the face of constitutional civil rights issues, making it clear that less intrusive tactics and open communication with a target group must be considered before undercover operations are instituted, incorporating new guidance on video surveillance, and strengthening provisions for reporting and auditing. We recognize that the City Council and this committee has limited authority to issue detailed directions on police operations to the police department. Nonetheless, we think it is within this committee's and the council's proper authority to state its concern about the entire surveillance issue and the analysis and recommendations, findings, and conclusions of the independent auditor.
She left the comments up. Okay. It's out of time. You can give your comments also in writing to us?
Yes, I just handed that there. And that it. Thank you.
Thanks. Just to try to be fair in terms of everybody having full time to speak.
Sure.
Thanks. Others?
Of course, Zimmerman represents an organization, a very important organization, a local organization called the ACLU, so he could have been given 5 minutes to speak. Rutkin could have informed him of that. Or the Public Safety Committee could have asked Zimmerman questions, and I don't think they ever did. I could be mistaken. I could have forgotten what happened later in the meeting, and we'll be hearing the rest of the meeting, so that's possible. You're listening to the Public Safety Committee of the Santa Cruz City Council meeting of earlier this week. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM and freakradio.org. Call-in number should you wish to comment or burp or do whatever seems appropriate in terms of your reaction to this fine group of individuals. 427-3772 is our phone number, 427-3772. This is the public comment section of the Public Safety Committee meeting. Another point about Zimmerman of the ACLU's comments. I suppose I should be pleased that the ACLU is actually getting involved. I'm glad that Zimmerman's getting involved. He actually got involved before the ACLU as a group got involved. And I think the ACLU got involved because there was so much publicity around the issue. But notice it's also theoretical. The problem that we're having here is we don't have a lot of specific facts about other cases of police surveillance. If we know that the police is off base, or maybe not. Maybe they're only investigating criminal Ku Klux Klan style, neo-Nazi style terrorist activities, burning synagogues and, you know, defacing mosques and all that sort of thing. If that's happening, and I haven't heard a lot of it happening, but I guess some of it might be happening here, then we don't have to worry about the surveillance. But that kind of information should be available to us, particularly with in closed cases, from the police department. And none of it has been forthcoming, not an iota of it. Nor, and this is even worse, have our elected representatives, Rotkin, Porter, and Coonerty, not to mention Mayor Matthews, had a peep of a question about this. Although Rotkin later, somewhat reluctantly, it sounds like, asks the question, oh, well, do you have any, were there any other surveillance? But he doesn't carry on when Scary replies, I have no record of such a thing. Does that mean he's got an active shredder machine in the basement? You know, does that mean that he doesn't have any personal knowledge of it? I keep repeating this because it's so key. Zimmerman of the ACLU gives us a lot of theoretical talk, which I actually am sympathetic with, but there's nothing specific about Santa Cruz precedents, about the actual history of Santa Cruz, about the complaints being lodged. So it sounds awfully legalistic, and it sounds awfully abstract. And I suppose maybe that's the way we can engage these folks, because that's how their minds work, or they don't want to actually challenge their political allies like Rotkin and Matthews, and who knows, maybe some people in the police department, although the ACLU and the police department are not usually on the best of terms. But locally, the ACLU has done no defense of homeless civil rights. It doesn't have, it, you know, the jails are crammed full of marijuana and drug war prisoners, and the ACLU hasn't said shit about it. I have trouble getting our local medical marijuana advocates to talk about it, though to her credit, Andrea Tischler began to talk about it, I believe, last week or the week before, and the group she's working with, Tax and Regulate, I guess Santa Cruzans for a Sensible Marijuana Policy, I believe. By the way, if you want to help with that petition drive, give a call to her at 466-0420. I think that's right. If it isn't, I hopefully will get the right number from one of you fine callers. Going back to the Public Safety Committee meeting and the public commentary section.
Mayor Rockin, Chief of Police, and all of the police, my name is Mike Tomasi, the King of Patrols of A Battery, 6th Battalion, 14th Artillery, a walking, talking miracle from